home. For most of us, that conjures up a comforting picture, a good picture of happiness and warmth. I know not for everyone, I realize that. Robert Frost said, home is that place where when you go there, they have to take you in. But that's not even true for everybody. My other favorite quote is this. Home is about the caregivers and the hand holders and the listeners and the tear dryers and the comforters and the soothers. Home is about people who know you, that really know you the best, and who see you at your worst and love you most of all. You will never believe, but that came from the old soap opera, All My Children. I miss it still. It wasn't all garbage like people think. The point is, once Jesus began his ministry, he had no home. He never really went back and hung out with Mary in Nazareth. But scholars tell us that he probably had a place that he frequented quite often where he could crash, where he could let his guard down and relax, and that was at the home of his very good friends, sisters Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And we assume that if he was often there, that they were all very close, and the scripture even in verse 5 says he loved them all. So we know that right before the text that Laurie read, that Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was ill. But he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now, if I get a question over and over about this text, this is the one. Why did he stay for 2 more days? Now, I'm going to give you the short answer. Someone can preach on that another day, but 2 things. One, the Jews believed that it took 4 days for the spirit to actually depart from the body. Then they would accept that the person was truly dead. And 2 other times when Jesus healed, raised people, it was immediately after they died. And so there was the accusation of he was in a coma or he was just sleeping. This way we know everyone watching would accept the fact that Lazarus was truly dead. But second, and really more importantly, were the words of Jesus in verse 4. He says, this illness isn't fatal. It is for the glory of God, and so that God's Son can be glorified through this. He made similar statements when he changed the water into wine and when he healed the blind man. This miraculous sign was all for the glory of Almighty God. And so he waited. Now, when Jesus did arrive in Bethany, he finds that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. So I'd like you to know a little bit about the tombs and the funeral practices in Palestine in those days. The tomb was usually a natural cave, or if it was a big stone like this, it was hewn out on purpose. There was an entrance way and then a chamber about 6 feet long, and they would cut shelves into the side walls, almost like ledges, and then they would place all these bodies on the ledge. So in one cave, there would be more than one body, most likely. The bodies were wrapped in linen, but the hands and feet were swathed in bandage-like wrappings. The head was wrapped separately. There was no door. But in front of the hole, in front of the entranceway, you see that big stone on the left, they would have cut a groove into the rock or into the ground, and then the stone was placed there, much like a cartwheel, and it would be rolled in, and that would seal up the hole. In addition, it's important to know, many, many people came to the funerals. And it wasn't because it was a social event and they were going to eat well. It was because they truly felt the sorrow and the grieving of their friends. And so it was a very big deal to be able to go and share your sorrow with the family of the deceased. There were processions and speeches. There was lots of crying. You notice in the text it said when Mary jumped up, they all thought, oh, she's going to go cry again. We'll go cry with her. And that's what they did. Okay. So when Jesus arrived and was greeted by both sisters, did you notice they said the same thing? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What a statement of faith in this teacher that they had listened to and been with for so long. I would have said, hey, buddy, what took you so long? Being rude, or what does Ron call me? Snarky that I am. But the trust in these two women, in their master, and Jesus did not disappoint. First, he noticed the crying. He saw this true sadness of the people, and the scripture says he became disturbed. And 11:35, if you need to learn a Bible quote, it's Jesus wept. He wept real and heartfelt tears as he grieved, as he shared their sorrow. And in doing so, because Jesus always showed us what God was like, he revealed to us a God who truly, truly feels the pain and sorrow of his children, who truly enters into the suffering of the world, and it does break his heart as it does ours. Jesus gave an order, remove the stone. And right away Martha says, oh, but Lord, he's been in there 4 days. You know, this is a hot climate. So before addressing this, Jesus did what Jesus does, and he prayed first. And then in the face of all these possible obstacles, the power of death, the stench of decomposition, a huge stone in his way, linens that still bound the man, nothing can stand in the way of Jesus' command, Lazarus, come out. Now, I know I've said it from this pulpit before and in many classes, but it's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come out. Because if he had stood in front of all these dead bodies and just said, come out, with his power, they all would have come out. And then one of my favorite parts of this story, he turns to the people and he says, unbind him and let him go. Jesus didn't unbind him. He asked the community. He asked the people who have been there supporting Mary and Martha all this time, let's do this together. Do this for him. Unbind him and let him go. Jesus literally, at that moment, demonstrated what he'd said to Martha earlier in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus is given the greatest gift, which we see over and over again in this book of John. He is literally given the light of day, and he's given a new life. And this is a gift for us all. You know, I am the resurrection and the life. Powerful statement. It's not an ancient saying. It's absolutely true for each one of us here and now. Literally, I am the resurrection and the life. And I would say hallelujah, but I'm not allowed. Where I want us to focus, though, really, is on the unbinding. Once the grave clothes are off, Lazarus is now free to live the life that Jesus gave back to him. I suspect that though we are not all dressed in grave clothes, that each of us is bound by something. There's something on our hearts or in our minds or going on in our lives that just casts a spell or a shadow or sits in the back of your head or wakes you up at 5 a.m. That's me. It's just life in 2017, I suspect. You know, it's just the nature of life. There's just so much to distract us. There's so much to sidetrack us off of where we should be, to experience the times when we're not living as fully as we could be or as joyfully as we should be. Now, I was going to rattle off a list of all these things that might be what binds us. But then I thought, you know what it is for you. You know what bothers you. You know what you can't shake. You know what always creeps in when you're least expecting it. Bound, by definition, means to be tied up, totally restricted, physically or emotionally. So being bound by fears and worries and doubts and stress, whatever, that can really mess with us. It can mess with our heads. It can get in there and distract us. It changes how we see things in our daily lives, the people that we interact with, or how we don't see them. You know, I'm so wrapped up in what I'm concentrating on that I don't see the person in front of me who really needs me. We get distracted. We're unable to be in the present moment for the person right in front of us. Personality can be affected. I've seen personality actually change. It can even affect us physically, how we eat or how we sleep or how we don't sleep. A little bit of us dies when we are bound up by worry and fear and stress, etc. And especially when these things are out of our control. Today, Jesus says to all of us, come out. Come out of that cave and see the light and unbind that part of your life. Live as if the eternal is already here. Death and fear and worry and stress have no power over you. The power of Christ is so much more and can lift you out and free you. Get rid of those grave clothes. Once we call upon and grasp the power of resurrection and life that is available here and now every day, there shall be nothing, no threat, no problem holding us back. Now, you may be thinking, well, I mean, the kids say, yeah, Miss Lee, that's easy for you to say because you're a pastor. And I'm like, you think pastors don't have issues? You think pastors don't have things on our minds and hearts? I've just been doing this longer than you, and I've kind of learned how to take care of it. And so I want to say to you guys, I didn't mean that. It's like I'm still with the kids now. Say to you folks, we can help you. You're every single person on this staff would be happy to sit down and talk to you. Now, Bethel thinks she isn't, but she is. She could do it. She'll tell you she can't, but she can. She's not here, is she? No. The community. I have seen this community, this church, take care of each other in such fantastic ways. When people are hurting or struggling or in need, this community is there. So let the community help you and find a way to get rid of those grave clothes, to unbind that little piece of your heart so you can live free. I'm going to end with just the last verse of today's text. It said, therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. Remember, John's whole purpose for this gospel, which we learned on week one, these words have been written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you will have life in his name. Mission accomplished that day in Bethany. And mission accomplished every day, somewhere, to someone. Thanks be to God. We're going to do something here. Just for a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to just take a couple minutes and think for yourself. Nicola will play something for us. To just ponder, what is it for you that is holding you back, that is binding you? What's your constant nag or worry or whatever it is? Just take a minute, identify it, see if you can let it go. Thank you. Almighty and gracious God, you know us so well, and you know the things that bind us, that keep us from living a full life for you. So God, we humbly ask you to help us remove the grave clothes. Teach us how to do that. Take from us that which needs to go and set us free. We ask in the name of your Son, the resurrection and the life. Amen.